If you have your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Pray that the Lord speak to all of us today. It's real easy to come to church and you know you've had a great week and you've had a good time and you've seemed like everything's been going good and you think the sermon's for somebody else, but God's got a way of touching us all, amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. I want you to pray for us today. This is a pretty serious message that God's laid on our heart. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with strange words make merchandise of you, whose judgments now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodliness, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly. Now listen to this. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the sweet service. Thank you, God, for Sister Linda being able to sing. God, I thank you for Mike, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us, God, as we try to expound on your word. I pray most of all for conviction in this service. God, I pray, God, you'd touch hearts. I pray for Christians. And Lord, if there's one that's not saved, God, I pray, God, you'd help them today to realize that today's the day of salvation. God, we love you. We thank you for what you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have studied the Bible a long time, and I'm just going to be honest with you. This is a passage of Scripture that I don't understand. I don't see how, you know, and let me put it to you this way. If I was the judge, Tony, Lot would go to hell. We all know the story of Lot. I'm just being honest. But the Bible says, and I'm telling you, when the Bible says it, you go ahead and nail it down. But the Bible says, and delivered just Lot. He had a great start. The Bible says he was a righteous man. He had a great start. Genesis chapter 12 tells us in verse 5, and Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. Genesis chapter 13 verse 5, and Lot also which went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents. He had a great start to his life. He was in the right company. He was doing the right things. He was where he was supposed to be. But no one with good sense here this morning would say, I want my life to be like Lot's life. I don't know of one Christian in this building that would say, I wish my life was like Lot's life. I want to preach a little while on this morning. Don't be like Lot. Don't be like Lot. Number one, Lot made bad choices. We have Christians today that make awful choices. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning that you've made some bad choices in your life. And and the place you're at now is because of the bad choices that you made in your life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10 and 11, now listen, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated himself from one from the other. It looked good, so he went down that way. We know the story. The Bible says that Lot's herd and Abram's herd started conflicting, and their men that worked with them started kind of had a conflict. So Abram comes to Lot. He said, "You choose which way you want to go, and I'll take the other way. You choose which way you seem right." And Lot looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible says that everything looked green, everything looked great. That's what looked prosperous. Let me tell you something. Everything that glitters ain't gold. And we got folks, you know, if it feels good, that's what I think I need to do. If it looks right, that's where I think I need to go. How many times have people done that and destroyed their lives? Amen. He made bad choices. Someone said this one time. He chooses the beginning of the road, chooses the place it leads to. It's the means that determine the ends. How you start is how you're going to finish. Now listen, Christian, you need to make good choices. You need to make godly choices. Just because it looks right, just because the devil says it's right, just because you might feel like it's right, that don't mean it's right. If it goes against the word of God, that means it's wrong. Amen. Bad choices. It felt right, so he went that way. It looked right, so he went that way. He made a choice. He made a conscious decision to go towards Sodom and Gomorrah. How many Christians today make conscious decisions to go toward worldliness? Make conscious decisions to do what they know the Bible says don't do. Don't be like Lot. Lot made bad decision. Number two, Lot lost his testimony. Think, when you make bad decisions, you lose your testimony. How many people do you know that used to be in church, used to be faithful to church, now nobody has no confidence in them? Because of choices they made. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 5 through 7, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door and shut the door after him and said, I pray ye, brethren, do not so wickedly. God has sent two angels into Sodom and Gomorrah, Greg. They are going to destroy that city. God is sending Lot a warning. God is sending Lot a warning to get out of the city, and these angels are coming in. They're going to destroy the city. And the homosexual crowd, the perverted crowd that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah come and beat on his door. He said, send them men out to us that we may know them. That is not that we may learn who they are. They wanted to physically rape these men. And Lot opens the door and closes the door behind it and says, brethren. When you associate with the wrong crowd, you lose your testimony. When you run with the wrong crowd, you lose their testimony. He associated with the homosexual crowd. He was associated, and in today's time, we can say that he was association with the LGBT crowd. He was associating with the perverts. He was associating with the sinners, with the worldly crowd. Understand something. He was their associate in the city. The Bible says that Lot had a prominent place in the city. He would set at the gates of the city. That is what the politicians would do, Greg. He was associating with these people. You don't have no testimony when that's the way you live. Let me tell you something. You can wear the Christian t-shirts all you want to. You can say what you want to. I'm just telling you right now, nobody has no confidence in you when that's the way you live. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a little while. But understand something. We all heard the old saying, if you run with the dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That word right there, communications, but that basically means, if you break it down to the Hebrew word, it means companions. Evil companions corrupt good manners. How many people do we know in church that was in church and faithful and doing good, Alan, and all of a sudden they started running with the wrong crowd, and now you don't even see them? Don't be like Lot. You only have one testimony. And when it's gone, it's gone. He made bad decisions. He lost his testimony. Don't be like Lot. Lot lost his influence. Verse 14 of chapter 19 says this, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord would destroy this city." The Bible tells us these angels come in. These angels say, "We're going to destroy this city." And Lot goes and says, his son-in-laws that married his daughters, he said, "We got to get out of this place. There's destruction coming. Understand, God's going to rain fire and brimstone down on this place." And the Bible says at the end of that verse, "But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." Had no influence on his family. Had no influence on his sons-in-laws. This was family. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 verse 1 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. What kind of influence do you have on your family? Larry Snipes said something a long time ago, Brother Tony, and I will never forget it. He said a lot of people can't witness to their family because they know you. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all are going to know what I'm getting ready to say. Some of y'all ain't got no business trying to get your family in church because they know how you live. Amen, preacher. Don't be like Lot. Lot lost his influence. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of y'all invite your family to church and they look at you and laugh. Don't be like Lot. A good name is rather to be chosen than precious ointment. You need your influence. You'll never influence the world by being like them. I will never forget. And let me tell you something, folks. What I'm preaching to you today, I know I've been through. My wife and I lived in Orangeburg. The highway patrol would get once a month. We could drive the patrol car back to our home county. At that time, they did not put you in your home county. So every time that time rolled around, when I had that long weekend, me and my wife would load up the patrol car. We'd go back and see our families. Preacher Earl Hanna told me something one time. He said, "You'll never get your mom and daddy back in church doing the things they do." So we made a conscious decision. We go into church no matter what. And today my mom and daddy's in church. Don't be like Lot. Don't lose your influence because that's all you got. The Bible says, the Bible goes on and tells us that Lot lost his wife. How many of us, We set out to do what's right. We set out, we want to do what's right. We want to be a Christian, but through the bad decisions, through lost testimony, lost influence, the Bible says that Lot lost his wife. The Bible says in chapter 19, verse 24 through 36, that God rained fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And as Lot and his wife were leaving out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says she turned around and looked back, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. Now, God had already told Lot not to look back. God had already told, get out of the city. Don't look. Did he not tell his wife that? Or maybe it was this. Talbert, maybe it was this. Maybe he told his wife and she thought he was an idiot. Maybe he told his wife she had no influence. He had no influence on her. Oh, can't you just hear the conversation? You're trying to tell me about the Lord and you out there running, sitting in the same crowd with the perverted crowd. You're trying to tell me about the Lord and look at some of the stuff you're doing. You're trying to tell me about the Lord and look how you're living. You're trying to tell me about the Lord and you don't halfway come to church. You're trying to tell me about the Lord and you live more worldly than the people out there in the bar rooms do. Don't be like Lot. He lost his wife. I understand. He made bad choices. He lost his testimony. He lost his influence. He lost his wife. Look what else he lost. He lost his children. Now, we've already read about his sons-in-laws that married his daughters. Understand something. They stayed behind. And when God rained fire and brimstone down from heaven, Lot's daughters that were married to these men died. Most of us in here know the rest of the story. But let me read it to you anyhow. He did have two girls left. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. There is not a man on earth to come unto us after the manner of this earth. Come, let us make our father wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father to drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. You talk about a perverted family. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and thou go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. I understand that she, in her mind, I'm doing what's right to preserve seed of my father. But how ungodly is this? We got people in church that think like this. I mean, perversion, ungodliness, worldliness. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by the father. Now listen to this. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. Those were mortal enemies of the Jews. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benjamin, and the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Both of those were mortal enemies to the Jews. So Lot lost both of his daughters that went with him. Don't be like Lot. Don't be like Lot. All you got is your testimony. All you got is your influence. Dallas, all you got is your influence on your family. My two children are here today. And I know I've not been perfect before them. But I hope and I pray, and that's my heart's desire, that when I talk to my son or I talk to my daughter about the Lord, they'll take confidence in what I've got to say. Wes, that's all you got. God did not call you to raise Greg's kids. All you got is your influence over them three. What kind of influence do you have over your family? What kind of testimony do you have with your family? See, the problem is a lot of times we sat here this morning, and he ain't preaching to me. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am, because it don't take but just one stupid thing to lose your testimony, lose your influence, lose your wife. Think about this. Lot lost everything. He lost his home. Lot set out. Lot in his mind. I see in Lot's mind, he looks towards Sodom and Abram and him. They're separate. He looks towards Sodom. That's the green area. That's where it's prosperous. I'm going to be rich. I'm going that way. I'm going to leave my family that way. And understand, and wanting to be rich and wanting to be prosperous and choosing the way that looked good, he wound up losing everything he had. Now Lot's in a cave. His house is gone. His wife is gone. His children's gone. And his children's perverted. And they're all out there in craziness. And Lot is all by himself. I got thinking about this. Now I'm telling you, I'm going to go back and read this verse one more time, because I want to make sure I'm in the will of God. And delivered just Lot. I believe today, Brother Barry, I believe today, according to God's word, Lot is in heaven. According to God's word. Can y'all agree with me on that? But none of his family is. What a testimony. What a tragedy. What a disappointment. Well, if I make it to heaven, I ain't worried about nobody else. I'm telling you right now, I'm worried about Blake and his family. I'm worried about Heather and Benji and their family. I'm worried. I pray for them. I want to be an influence on them. When I go to heaven, I want to see them there. I want to see you there too. So what's going to happen when your kids grow up and don't respect you? What's going to happen when your kids grow up and you seem as one that mocketh unto them? Listen to this little story, kind of a little poem. I want to read this to you and just think about this. What kind of influence do you have? When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been, had he had his way, and I see how I blocked him here and I checked him there and I would not yield my will. Shall I see grief in my Savior's eyes? Grief, though he still loves me still. Oh, he'd have me rich, and I stand here poor, stripped of all his grace, while my memory runs like a haunted thing down the paths I can't retrace. When my desolate heart and will my desolate heart break with tears I cannot shed, I cover my face with my empty hands, and I bow my uncrowned head. Y'all know what that means? Standing before God with no influence. Standing before God with no crown to show. Standing before God with no fruit. No, Lord, of the years left to me, I yield them to thy hand. Take me, make me, mold me to the pattern thou hast planned. Don't be like Lot. Don't be like Lot. Mike, come back and sing when he was on the cross. I was on his mind. I want you to bow your heads with me.